episode 5 of Chasing the Dragonfather, the Cricks podcast that thinks it's probably time to drop this shtick at the beginning because it's really hard to come up with something. And with me, as always, I have...
Hello, I'm Ryan.
Oh, I thought something else was going to come, like, hi, I'm Ryan, I'm from England. I sometimes play Cricks, but I'm drifting off to Retribution.
Traitor!
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, that's why I kept the silence. So hi, I'm Klaas. I'm from Belgium. Some people know me for being sexy.
More and more people every fortnight.
Exactly.
So this week, we have Dojo for the winner of our runoff poll, which will be Scar 2, Queen of the Broken Coast. But before that,
yeah,
I'd like to chat a little bit about, well, Ghost Fleet again. But
so sweet.
It kind of ties into a broader conversation as well that's happening kind of across the War Machine community. Is we're starting to notice that a big percentage of the winning lists are theme forces.
Yes.
And Ghost Fleet is obviously excellent. We've said so and explained why many times. But I'm finding it increasingly difficult to build any list that isn't in theme, especially now that we have two to choose from. And with the Bane theme coming up soon, I mean, it's going to be so hard not to do. And I do think that Scar 2 is a good caster to be discussing later in relation to this. But in more broad strokes, what do you think are the good reasons in Cricks to go out of theme?
For me personally, it's all the... Actually, Satixus Raiders.
Pretty strong.
I mean, there isn't a team yet that has Satixus Raiders. Satixus Gunslingers in a way too. And then, yeah, all the mercenary options. So maybe Crow's Cutthroats, Nis Hunters, Ragman. I don't know. I would say Saxon Orc, but meh, he's not that important.
We've got plenty of Ghostwalk knocking around if that's what you're really worried about. And yeah, it also happens to be on casters that are generally good with everything. So
yes,
it's not like you're going into the Ghostwalk caster and going, oh, I have to take Agatha to get Ghostwalk. You're never going to be feeling particularly sad about taking Scabrous or Denegra in whatever list you're playing if you really want some Ghostwalk.
I really think that Scabrous doesn't have Ghostwalk anymore. Or I must have missed it on his card, but
it's also possible I'm entirely wrong.
Okay.
I'm very, very tired. I'm just back from a like 3-day academic conference, and those are, well, they're about as boozy as a games convention. Let's put it that way.
Why am I not surprised?
In fact, it's better. It's a games convention where work is paying expenses for everybody.
Ooh, they just came at 2 levels.
You can't quite justify them paying for your booze, but because you haven't paid for your travel or your hotel, paying for booze is not that hard. So I decided to, you know, raid my research budget before I left my current job. But so I might be a bit spacey today because I have not really slept for a couple of days. But
you're forgiven.
Good, good. It's good to be forgiven in advance.
Yes.
I think Satixus Raiders are definitely like a really big argument for Cricks because they're still an extremely good unit that are very flexible and cover a lot of bases. And same with Satixus Gunslingers. I mean, personally, I was very disappointed that there wasn't a Satixus theme in the book. I was kind of hoping for one. But had there been, I'm pretty sure everyone's pair would have been Ghost Fleet and Satixus theme without question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only discussion would be which one gets Denegra.
Yes, well, it would depend on, of course, on how the Satixus team is set up.
Yeah, true.
But I think Scar would be a good contender for a Satixus team as well. I mean, to run a Satixus team. It would feel so strange that like a Satixus team would not be good with a Satixus caster.
I mean, mass Satixus are always going to be good with either Scar, just for the threat of backlash alone.
Yeah.
You know, it's a game state warping situation just to have the threat of that on the table. People play very strangely to get around it.
It's why I have 20 Satixes in my Coven list.
Same. And that comes around to my other question, is that have you immediately switched to running Infernal Machines as a list two with Ghost
No.
Fleet? Do you have a regular list two to go with Ghost Fleet?
I do. I have one list that has Ixis Raiders, and then I have Ghost Fleet, I guess.
What about you, Ryan? What are you pairing with Ghost Fleet these days?
It's kind of a hard question. In terms of, I've kind of given up on the, not given up as such, but I find the Signal Master quite hard to plan for, I guess. But so the way I've been looking at pairing my Ghost Fleet is, I play quite a lot of Ghost Fleet Lich 1, quite a lot of Ghost Fleet with Denny 1. And Denny 1, you can obviously build up around anything, like basically whatever you want. And thinking back to the way I used to build my Signar list, actually. When I started off playing Signar Mark II, played a lot of Haley 2 for a while, and I could never find a list that paired really well with the Haley 2 list I was running. So I spent about 2 months running other lists and found one list at the time, it was Siege, that could play into a lot of stuff, and then basically went back to the drawing board with Haley 2 to effectively look at what Siege couldn't play into, and then taking my stronger caster and using their inherent strength to build for that. And so I'm trying to kind of apply that logic at the moment to my crits pairing. So I've got Lit 1 running the Ghost Fleet, and then Denny 1 is kind of the off list. Been playing a little bit with Sasha's Denny 1 list, and it's ridiculously good fun, but I just can't get on with the Crow's Cutthroat, so I've got to change that a little bit. But that's my logic.
Come again on the Crow's Cutthroats. What is your issue with them?
I just find unless you've got Telekinesis or Machine Wraith, I just find the Crows, they get your opponent doing daft stuff, like turning their heavies back toward their board edge because they got crows at the butt. But I was thinking, for the sake of, like, that you can't really capitalize on it because you can't go, oh, well, I'm going to parasite your heavy and shoot you with a bunch of, like, power tens, I don't know, dice minus six or something. You do 9 damage, woo, like, big deal, 4 more turns of that and you've killed 1 heavy, good job. So instead, I'm looking to tweak the list a bit and basically upgrade, I say, the Crows to Nith Hunters, and I'll probably swap, because it's got Revenants in anyway, but if you swap the Revenants and Rengrave out for Blackbanes, that gets you the points to put in the Nith Hunters instead of the Crows, so that kind of gives you, I think, a slightly better tool for contesting scenario, because Denny can sometimes be kind of pushed into a corner where she's got to feet defensively, because otherwise you can start losing on scenario or you're about to get hit with an alpha strike. I think the Black Bane probably gives you some leverage, a little bit of mileage to avoid that.
Yeah. Well, in my experience with that exact list, we probably really should post it up sometime. Is that also the Crow's Cutthroats are the ones that have to go? They don't really have to go. They're not bad per se. But I have a hard time capitalizing on them as well. Yeah. I mostly really just recycle them into Mechanitrolls. Also, playing that list, I mean, it has 1 unit of Mechanitrolls, 3 Brutes, and it has 2 units of Necrosurgeons. Actually, if you put that on the table, it's really not as bad as you would think. I mean, okay, it's not Mark II level good, but it's still very important. You can still put a lot of pressure. And yeah, the recursion is still live. It's still just 6 new dudes on the board every turn. That really makes a difference.
It's just that the Necrosurgeons are no longer guns that fire POW 15 combo strikes at people.
Yeah.
That's true.
And I think that's a thing that always happens with an addition change, is that people get hung up on how good something used to be and can't see that it's still good.
Yes.
For instance, in the Mark 1 to Mark 2 transition, Menoth players were super down on Zealots. Because they were complete bullshit in Mark 1.
Fucking hope so, because they were fucking complete bullshit in March.
Yeah, I know, right? But initially, people were like, oh, they've got nerfed so hard, I don't want to take them, and they went in other directions. And it was only kind of when they came around to that kind of middle Mark II Menoth style of, you know, shooty jacks holding back, and they needed a unit to hold zones. They went back to them and realized, nope, they're still complete bullshit. And I think the same thing is happening a bit with Mechanithralls, maybe nudged by Infernal Machines, in that that recursion is still strong. And frankly, POW 13 combo strikes is still pretty good for a model that is costing you a point.
You don't play them for the damage output. I just play them for the pressure, sheer pressure of bodies, I think.
Yeah, but a unit that cheap shouldn't be dominating the board and threatening things twice their cost without effort. You know, they fill a role, but their presence is not irrelevant, because that POW 13 is still a relevant POW level for trying to punch things and get some damage on whatever your target is. And two POW 11 attacks, in my head, basically that is a 1-mat-7 attack instead of 2-mat-5 attacks. If you need to swing at something a bit harder.
I think they're actually base POW 10 these days.
Well, in fairness, if you're swinging at infantry, it's much of a motionless, right? I think the basic point stands is that they're not irrelevant for the amount of points they cost, and that hard recursion comes in dragging out games. I'm still a little concerned about how 2017 is going to play out, because I feel a lot of my Crix games are drifting to trying to play 6-turn games and 7-turn games, and that's going to possibly not be a thing anymore. So you might have to reconsider, but we can't make too much conjecture on that one. So the reason I'm kind of talking about kind of Ghost Fleet and what to pair with it is that I've got a tournament coming up this weekend. I'm taking Terminus Ghost Fleet as my main list for two reasons, overlapping reasons. One is the only way I'm losing Ghost Fleet games at the moment is when I get my caster killed. So I want to take a caster that can survive low-level fuck-ups from me and requires my opponent to really have to work to do it, which means I should, you know, reduce the number of times I stupidly get the caster killed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, also, Terminus throwing out the tough bubble and everything makes the recursion in Ghost Fleet a complete nightmare anyway. But so, like, it's not like I'm sacrificing huge on that front.
What is your setup then?
It's the kind of the 75 points of 3 min units of Revenants, 8 rifles, a Wraith engine, and Blackbane's Ghost Riders.
Max.
And then a battle group. I may min the Blackbane's to try and get some more stuff in the battle group, because at the moment I'm playing Barathrum and Stalker. And that's a couple of points down, whereas if I min the Blackbane's, I pick up some more points. I can maybe... Actually, no, that doesn't work out, does it? Because that loses me my third free card if I do that. So I can't do that.
Yeah.
Nope, got to keep them max with the Wraith Engine build. I guess I have to live with Barathrum and a Stalker. Damn.
You can min your Blackbane's and put in a cannon.
And that gets to exactly 60.
And then you get an extra rifle as well. So I play the same setup. But I have 9 rifles and a min black veins.
Yeah, I can see the argument for that.
Just 670, it's still 75 points. And you get, 2 pistol raids and Rengrave for free.
Yep.
And then you play just the battle group. You just spend your caster's warjack points. And I think, Terminus's case, why not? Barathrum and
a Stalker. I mean, I could play like Barathrum and a Slayer.
Yeah, how much points?
Yeah,
I have enough for Barathrum Slayer. The battle group set up Barathrum Stalker.
Yes.
But bizarrely, I just feel like the Stalker's probably better than a Slayer, just on a direct model by model basis, because a Slayer is just going to get shot in the head once.
Yeah.
His arms are going to pop off immediately.
What you could do as well is try to work an Arknode in there. People really underestimate Hellfire to the face or Annihilation to the face.
I could chuck a Defiler in there instead of the Stalker.
Nah, I would not do that. You could play like 2 Stalkers and an Arknode.
I could drop Wrathrum altogether, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think you really... I mean, you have Terminus and a Wraith Engine to have a 4 armor swing, and then you have lots of bodies to, kill something big. If not, you also have Terminus to kill something big. So I don't think you really need the extra heavy. Also, it actually strengthens your matchup with, for example, Haley too, because you don't give her a big target that she can dominate.
This is very true. This is very, very true.
I'm not sure if Terminus is the way to go to play into Haley too, but
if that matchup ends up happening, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, this is where I'm coming at. It's like, I'm trying to figure out what the second list is here. Like, I don't feel like there's anything that I'm likely to see that terrifies that Ghost Fleet list. So I'd love to build this second list to, like, laser target those things. At the moment, it's going to be Coven, because it's tried and tested.
Yeah.
I know the list. I like the list. Coven, double Satixus Raiders, Icos, two Stalkers.
What? Why would you do that?
Because I really love having many, many Stalkers, because the Stalkers in the battle group too.
So okay.
So you've got three or four Stalkers at different points, each threatening 15 inches, which controls the fuck out of the table. I could drop Icos Stalker for Soul Hunters and just go for blistering speed.
Yes. It's how I roll. I have just two Stalkers, but they're on the Coven, and I have two Chickens, because I'm going to throw away one Chicken at some point in the game anyway.
Yeah, and Coven cannot afford to be chickenless.
Exactly. And then, yeah, I have a unit of Bane Warriors. It's a Ryan trick.
In my build, I'm running Ragman, but I could fiddle it around and end up with, and go for the three fast units, some Bane Warriors. Because there is the argument that the Raiders and the Soldiers are so fast that Ragman stops being as vital.
Yeah, he's not really relevant anymore, because he's really too slow. So,
well, that thing is, that's assuming that your opponent stands off when you come forward. And if you do that, you're already in a pretty good shape anyway. Like, eventually the lines meet and you've got to go kill the big thing.
Okay, that's true. I'll grant you that.
But I think probably a better shout for when you have to kill the big thing. The thing I always feel like with Coven, especially into a Sigmar matchup, is they're kind of glass cannony. Like, they can get in control of the game really, really quickly, but in the face of control, like being counterfeited, for instance, the list can start to fall apart very, very quickly.
Yeah, maybe so.
So that concerns me a little, but I'm not sure what other things I might put in that second list.
Well, what I'm trying to say is, I think the Coven and Terminus more or less cover the same matchup or the same type of opponent's army. So they're both quite good into shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And they maybe both of them fold, I would say, if your opponent really has the big, big targets. I'm thinking Baldur with two Wolf Rats and things like that. Like the really heavy, heavy armor. Because the Coven cannot break heavy, heavy armor. I mean, like, if there's more than one Colossal or whatever, or really armor stacking. Or, for example, a Vlad's list with eight heavies. With the Coven, you would solve that, of course, which is putting out all the Stixis Raiders, but still. So what I'm trying to say is, if you're not afraid of anything with the Terminus list, then I would just bring a major skew in your second list. Something that would really scare your opponent into dropping the list that you want to see with Terminus.
I still have those 30 Bane Knights in a case. I could just bring 40 Banes with me and stick Denegra in charge of it and go, hey, do you want to play an armor spam into all those Banes? Even if it's not as good as it used to be, I could just like Jedi mind trick them with it.
Yeah, or that, or Scar with a double Wraith engine.
I only have one Wraith engine.
Yeah, your opponent doesn't have to know that.
Well, I mean, I did actually build a Scar 1 list on the train home today. Like,
you could just steal Brandon Andrews? Is that his name? From Florida Meta? You can just steal his.
Okay. So, like, the list that I threw together, this has got very little thought in it, is Scar, two Stalkers. Oh, well, I've just seen the problem. I was like, oh, this all looks fine. And is in Ghost Fleet. I was like, no, the problem is I don't have a Scarlock Thrall if I do that. And never mind, I'm going to drop that out of theme. But basically, it's Kraken and a Wraith engine and some Stalkers and some other stuff.
Not much other stuff.
Not a heap of other stuff, no.
Also not skewy enough, dude.
No, you can skew it harder.
Needs more skew.
Needs another Kraken.
Maybe.
I wonder, does any... I wonder, does anyone else in the meta have a Kraken that I can borrow? Or at least threaten to borrow and just bring double Kraken Wraith Engine with her?
That sounds like an excellent idea. You might actually want to have that run by Iskar too.
That is also true. There's a lot to be said for.
It might not, you know, not break in our armor enough.
Well, that is the eternal Scar 2 problem.
Yeah.
Whereas with Scar 1, like, those Krakens can kill two heavies each.
Can't you just do Scar 1 with a Kraken and then shitloads of Banes? I mean, whatever's left, Bane?
Could do that. It would certainly make my opponent think twice by dropping an armor spam into me, right? And that's basically what I want to do with it, right?
Yeah, and then, of course, you have to put in one unit of Styxes.
Mm-hmm.
Is there points left? I don't have an app here, right? Dude. I have no idea.
So what list are you suggesting?
So Scar. What, a Kraken?
Yep.
Probably a Scarlock, because you know, whatever.
Yep.
You need to. Full unit of Styxes?
Yep. Oh, and then just Banes forever.
And then Banes forever. Yeah, so units of 6, because they're cheaper that way.
Well, I have sufficient Bane models to do 2 units of Bane Warriors.
Yes. That's it?
Yeah, I never really felt the need for more than just... Oh, shit, that runs out of points really fast. so you get 2 minions of Bane Warriors and a unit of Bane Knights.
Uh-huh.
With 7 points left.
On top of Satixis and everything. So yeah, Satixis Gunslingers, go.
Yeah, 7 points and some more feedback threat.
Exactly. See, that's, you know, that's a skewy list.
Or I could alternatively do Bane Warriors and 2 full units of Bane Knights.
Okay. Yeah, that would work, I guess. Mm. I would prefer to have the gunslingers in there, because you don't, in a pinch, you can just, you know, throw a cloud in front of his car.
True. Because she's always super vulnerable to...
Yeah, she's always the weak spot.
Any sort of random murder. Especially nowadays with the inability to just, like, camp 10 focus and have it be plus 10 armor.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's why I would like the gunslinger. Also, you need 2 units of warriors, because only 6, they're really taken care of, and they're the most dangerous. Everybody knows that. Or, anyway, any half-decent opponent knows that.
Yeah, so Scar, Scarlock, Kraken, 2-man Bane Warriors.
Do you have some scrap trolls in there?
There's 2 points left, yeah.
Mm.
Seems okay, but it doesn't, I don't look at it and become immediately filled with dread that I'm being faced with a skew.
Maybe that's another strong point of the list, I don't know.
Well, if it's a list I don't intend to play and just use to mindfuck my opponents, I might as well go a bit crazy.
I don't know, I think it's
okay. Like, I know that Steamroller now has that rule where you can't just submit a list without being able to show the models for it.
Really?
Yeah, you're not allowed anymore to just, like, rock up and go, yeah, this is a list with 9 Slayers in it, or whatever. I don't know why you'd ever do that, but 15 Scavengers.
Okay.
On Mortanebra, and, you know, that you never intend to play, the TO can request that you show them that you actually have the army.
Okay. Mm. That sucks.
So I have to try and mindfuck people with models I already own. And my, you know, I still have the hangover of Mark II with 30 Bane Knights, so I can always just do that. Because I haven't played enough Bane Knights for people to realize they don't hit half as hard as they used to.
Or you could actually, talking about Mortenebra, you could actually just really play Mortenebra.
I could
people
just...
People don't really know what she does, and you could actually go on and on about how she's so fucking amazing with her new rules and everything, and that she has 20-inch threat stalkers, and then all that jazz, and your opponent is gonna, crap, he's gonna drop Mortenebra into my face. And then you just drop Terminus and say, hey boy, how you doing?
Odds on, I'm gonna default back to Coven because I know what I'm doing with the Coven.
Nah, you don't know what you're doing. Don't be like that. We all know you.
I do know, like, that's a list that I have played and won most of my games with.
Okay. I mean, if you played it twice and then won 1, that's still most of your game.
That's precisely half. It needs to be at least like 2 and
okay.
1.
3, you played 3 games and won 2. That's still most of your game.
There are 2 players in my, including myself, in my meta playing Ghost Fleet now. And it's a small enough meta. So now people are teching for it already. It's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, we have like a chat of all Krix players at the WTC. I mean, all Belgian Krix players at the WTC. And they're really, really looking like, okay, we need to be able to play the mirror, and we need to be able to play into Ghostly. Like, what? How many people are going to be there anyway?
It's a problem for a lot of lists. And I'm seeing more and more of people going, oh, I just played Ghost Fleet, I'm going to have to try and deal with it.
Yeah, maybe so.
I wonder if our below-the-radar Dark Horse status is starting to fade a little bit and people are starting to have to think about Crix again.
Yeah, but let's be fair. We deserve to be on top of things. We deserve to be one everybody just shits their fans for. That's us. That's Crix. It's where we belong, baby.
Yep. And we're back in the driver's seat.
Yes. Eat your heart out, Signar. We're back.
Which, to be fair, Signar are very well equipped to deal with.
Yeah, that's true.
I got Sons of the Tempest dropped on me in my local store. I'm like, no, no more gun mages. Not allowed. Boom.
Then you drop Ghostfleet into his face. You took half his shots. And the other half of the shots, you just blew him off the table with, you know, rifles that just come back and aim. And then he started crying.
Alas, well, I actually just played Grimkin into him and got myself assassinated in about 10 minutes flat because I'm an idiot.
Yeah, but it's also because Grimkin and nobody cares, right? I mean, if you're a traitor, then yeah, you just deserve to die.
If I'm going to be a traitor to anyone, it's going to be Grimkin.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. If you're a traitor, you deserve to die. You hear that, Ryan?
Yeah, we see you buying retribution models.
Yeah. I mean, if you would buy troll models, that would be okay. I mean, you're just leaving one underdog for another. But retribution? Come on. That's just lame.
Crix's girlfriend is hanging out with trolls. Crix is like, not worried.
Yes. Crix's girlfriend is hanging out with retribution. It's like, whoa. I mean, they even stole a fucking caster from us.
And that's not the way it's supposed to go. We're supposed to steal other factions' casters.
Yes. And not Sturgis, because he really doesn't count.
No, he does not.
I really wanted to steal Karchev. He would have been really cool.
Yeah, he would have been sweet in Crix.
He would have sucked big time, but he would have been cool.
Did that resolve in the fluff? Did Strakov rescue him and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. I figured he would. I mean, you got to give a payoff for a guy wearing a zombie meat suit.
Sure. That is really cool. But yeah, how did he even know where Crix was keeping Karchev? That's just not really okay, I think. It's just a major lack of, I don't know. I mean, who would have? You really need somebody to actually actively spill the beans, because all the zombies, they have no idea. They're like, friend, zombie. Where is Karchev? Sure.
Sounds like I didn't read the story, but it sounds like the kind of thing where, you know, Denegra's doing that thing she does, where she, you know, might turn on Asphyxius and might not, and ooh.
And in the end, she just tells Strakov where to find Karchev so he can rescue his big friend, because all she wanted to do was play.
Something like that, I don't know.
Then at least they should continue the story with Karchev acting a bit erratically, or with Karchev having an implant in his brain that every time he sees the Negra, he decides to just start killing random hater stuff.
Well, that was it. Karchev had an implant in his brain that got Mad Dogs nerfed.
Maybe so.
That was the plan all along. Fluff equals rules.
Wouldn't it be cool in a way that just, you know, when you have Karchev and I have the Negra, you just can't play Karchev into the Negra because he is not going to fight her. I think that would be cool.
One kind of fluff-based rule that I always thought would be really excellent for actual game design purposes is using animosity more.
Yes.
Like, I remember having like discussions about how there are certain spells that Kador could never have. For instance, you could never give a Kador caster Deadeye because of Joe.
Yes.
At least in the Mark II incarnation. And he thought, hey, but what if you have a Widowmaker caster who is like Joe's ex-wife and will not work with him under any circumstances? So she has animosity Joe, but then you can give her Deadeye and your Widowmakers can be Deadeyed and other stuff can be Deadeyed. And you can give a faction something you'd never be able to give them before. So you've got, for instance, you want a Crix caster to have Quicken.
Yes.
Give the Crix caster some sort of history with the Satixis. That he won't work with them.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And suddenly you can put a spell in the faction that this one unit stops happening. Boom. design space.
Sure. Yeah, you would need to be, I mean, you would really need to consider it very well, but I see a possibility, yeah.
Because at the moment it's on a completely arbitrary basis. You know, it's Morrowinds and Thamarites mostly won't work with each other, but there's no mechanical reason for that. It's just an arbitrary fluff reason, but you could do it in the other direction and say, we need to contrive a fluff reason for X caster not to work with Y problem unit that they would have.
I like it.
Also, I really like the idea of Joe's angry Widowmaker ex-wife.
Yeah, and that she would actually be much stronger than Joe. Because, you know, she's a caster and Joe is just a lame ass.
Exactly. Well, you know, he left to go fight in the Motherlands Wars. Left her alone in the Black Woods of Kador. So she went out and got badass. And went out to go shoot him in the head.
That is a thing. The other thing could be, she became badass and decided to ditch him for somebody who was way more sexy. or, I don't know, maybe he was just an ass who didn't do the dishes.
I don't know, Joe's main job seems to be being, you know, husky, beardy, and singing songs about the motherland. That guy sounds like a real pain in the ass to live with.
Yeah, always, you know, putting his dirty socks everywhere.
Insisting that it's because of the motherland. Using it as an excuse for everything.
Like, I don't know, baby, I don't have to clean up my mess. It's for the motherland. No, baby, I don't have to buy you presents. The motherland provides.
Yeah, why do you want presents? Are you saying that the motherland doesn't provide? Yes. Why should I have to provide? The motherland provides.
Stuff like that. And she's like, you know what? I can do much better than you. Let's, you know, get the fuck out of here.
You know, see, now I want to see the bizarre 90s sitcom starring Kovnik Joe and his Widowmaker ex-wife.
Yeah, why not?
Would you not watch that show?
Yeah, I would totally watch that show. And she just, joins the Kator military, runs into Butcher, who immediately falls madly in love with her, but who just can't get her because, you know, she wants a guy, she wants a real stand-up guy, not some random lunatic. He talks to his axe.
See, it writes itself.
Yeah, it writes itself. She sees Vlad, but you know, he's married. Machinations ensue.
And he's a bit full of himself anyway. Like, he knows how sexy he is.
Yeah, probably.
And she's way too no-nonsense for this.
Yeah, and then there's Strykov. You know, he's good guy Strykov.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's cool.
He's cool.
He's always he's like away on mission, and frankly, since that time he wore a zombie for several days, you couldn't go near him.
Exactly. It really took a while for him to
wash that mechanothrall stink off him, you know?
Exactly. And there's Irisk. I mean, Irisk is really cool, but you know, he's so busy being all captain and or supreme commander or whatever.
He's married to his job, you know it.
Yeah, he doesn't really have time for an interesting wife. So who's left? I mean, slim pickings in Kator.
It's true. It's true. All the men are married to the motherland.
Yeah. So, you know what? You could continue in saying that she casts her eye across the borders of Kator. And lo and behold, there she sees a swashbuckler. So sexy. So nice. He only has a shitty name, that is Shay.
But you've never seen someone who can rock eyeliner like that guy.
Exactly. She falls madly in love. And yeah, no. He pursues a whole career of trying to. He actually burns Lael or whatever the fuck Yuche is from to the ground just to prove her love to this guy. So, Doug Seacat, you listen to all this?
That's what we really want. We want epic romance novel Iron Kingdoms.
Yes. And actually have it impact the game as well.
Alternatively, I will also accept high school coming of age drama where all of the characters are warcasters from the game.
Nah, I wouldn't. I don't care.
No, it works out so well. Everyone settles nicely into their Mean Girls tables. It's great. Admittedly, I will basically watch anything that is genre plus high school coming of age movie.
Why? What do you have with high school coming of age? Didn't you come of age in high school and are you looking to fill a void or something?
No, it's just the, you know, quintessential genre. It just works with anything. whatever genre you latch onto that, it's going to be good.
I think it's a recipe for comedy, I guess.
And yeah, comedy funny. And glorious melodrama.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it would be really funny, for example, to have a coming-of-age thing with Haley and Denegra. That could be funny.
Exactly, and Denegra falls in with the goth girl crowd. You're like, you know, those three weird girls that are always hugging the disco ball.
Yeah, but where would you get the melodrama from? I mean, Denegra, she's just the cool goth girl, right? Would she have secretly feelings for that long-haired dark prince with a weird accent who has something with horses?
Exactly, and that brings her into melodramatic conflict with the Ice Queen, Queen Bee, that is Sorsha.
Yeah,
it worked itself, class.
Denegra can take Sorsha any day of the week, any time. Come on.
It's true, but Denegra's far too consumed with writing angsty poetry.
That could be true. That would be something for her, maybe. Actually, it would be more something for Scabrous, but then again, he like really a lot older than Denegra.
I feel like the Iron Liches are all the teachers in the school.
It could be. Nemo has to be a teacher, too.
Yeah, Nemo's like the principal of the school, or the wacky science teacher.
I go from wacky science teacher. We have other principals, like Magnus. You'd be a good principal. Lots of angles there.
See? Writes itself. What did I tell you? You put any situation into a high school, writes itself.
Okay. As long as you try to keep it funny, it has to be.
Of course. Because teenagers are inherently hilarious.
Yeah. Also, they don't think it. They don't think that way, but we do.
Exactly. It has something for everybody. Okay, we should probably, you know, talk about some War Machine now. So, let's move ourselves in then to our dojo segment, which is Skartu, Queen of the Broken Coast. So, Ryan, do you want to take us through what's on Scar's cards?
Yeah, sure. Where's the card? Bottom of the army list. So focus on the relevant stats. First, focus 7, speed 7, defense 16, armor 15, 16 boxes. She's mat 7, rat 5, which is reasonable. She's got 4 weapons, hand cannon, so brain 12, power 12. 2 melee weapons with a half-inch melee range, one being her great rack, which I'm told is her horns, apparently. Which are power 10, so have knocked down. Then she has a gun blade, which is the like a little dagger on the end of her hand cannon, that's power 9, no special rules. And then she has a funky sword, Takarix, which is 1-inch melee range, power 13, magical, with life trader, so she can take damage when she stabs something with it to gain an additional dice of damage. So if you charge something to life trade, it's 4 dice damage. So she can actually drop a heavy in a pinch. So then looking at the back of the front of a card, back of her first card even, she got blood trade. So rather than pay focus to keep her 3 upkeep spell, she can take damage. There's no reason not to. As in, start your turn, and if you're doing your upkeep, you should always just take the damage. Because you can always heal it back with the focus that you would have spent upkeeping. She's also got Future Sight and Field Marshal Future Sight. So basically her and her battle group, they can choose to boost attack and damage rolls after rolling. If your dice are anything like mine, you'll miss by 2. Choose to boost in the roll of 1, so strong ability. So then, onto her spells. She's got Admonition, which is something comes with 6 inches of the model in your battle group that's got it. You can effectively make a 3-inch move, and then Admonition expires. So it's quite often used to cheat, like peace trades, and basically make it clunky to kill your heavies. Backlash. Stick on an enemy warjack. When that warjack gets damaged, the controller suffers 1 damage point. So that's quite nice to stack with feedback. In terms of focus overboosting, whilst the enemy caster will suffer backlash and feedback at the same time, so they're taking 2 points of damage, they are separate abilities, so if they want to avoid both of them, they've got to spend 2 focus, which can get quite expensive kind quite quickly.
Complicated. Yeah.
Gets very silly very fast.
Yeah. What else? Black Spot. So enemy warrior model / unit suffers -2 defense. And when you destroy one of those models with a friendly faction model with a basic melee or ranged attack, you can immediately make an additional melee or ranged attack. So this gets really disgusting really quickly with things with quality ranged attacks like a Kraken or
Hellslinger.
The Hellslinger. The Hellslinger. It's quite a neat spell. I think there's probably a niche application with other solos and stuff like bloat thralls and stuff. But quite cool. Blood Rain, which is you're probably rarely gonna cast it. Shitting you, Grange 8, Part 12. Death Ward, friendly faction model / unit against +2 armor. If you stick it on a war jet, you can choose which column takes the damage. That's quite good for avoiding crippled systems. And then Soul Strike, which is a bit like a slightly more expensive version of Mark II Magic Bullet. Cost 3, range 10, power 12. When a living model is directly hit and destroyed by Soul Strike, after resolving the attack, you can choose one model within 4 inches of the destroyed model. And that model suffers a damage roll with a power equal to the armor of the destroyed model. So if you run a, take an example, Texas Blood Witch up next to Iris or something, Blacky Blood Witch in the back with Soul Strike, kill her with the power 12 and then dump her power 13 on Iris. So it's an expensive spell, but it's, when it's good, it's brilliant.
It's also the 4-inch bounce, just like Magic Bullet, is not an attack, which can get around all sorts of things.
Yeah.
It's great for tagging
stones. What else? Defeat. So, Scar immediately suffers up to 5 damage points. For each damage point she suffers, one model currently in the control ring can be affected by Fate Weaver. That can be any model in your army, any model in your opponent's army. Doesn't have to be faction, doesn't have to be friendly. So if you stick it on a, and you can mix them out, so you could put, say, 2 on your model, 3 on the enemy model. Friendly models cannot be targeted by charges, and they gain +5 defense for 1 round. Enemy models suffer -5 to attack roll for 1 round. You can't spend focus points to reduce the feat damage. So if you mix the friendly models and the enemy models, for example, let's say you're running Scar 2 with a Kraken, which is quite neat, you might choose defeat for 5, feet on Scar so she doesn't die, feet on the Kraken to make it defense 15, and then feet on your opponent's heavies to make them mat 1. So then your opponent's heavies are needing 14s to hit your defense 15 armor 21 colossal. It sounds all right.
Yeah, I think that's acceptable.
Yeah, I could live with that.
It's particularly fun when you can feed both on your Kraken and an opposing Colossal.
Yes.
Yeah. She definitely gets probably, or she's definitely up there in terms of the incontestation for basically getting the most mileage out of a Kraken. As in between Multi-1, Multi-2, and Scar-2, they all run the Kraken really well in terms of basically amplifying its damage output, making it a little bit more survivable, and basically getting a higher quantity of attacks out of it one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Black Spot can get a truly absurd amount of attacks out of it.
It's worth mentioning, do one of you want to run through the Kraken with Black Spot?
Well, yeah, so every time the Kraken kills a model with any of its weapons, it can fire... Well, let's take it from the ranged example, because Black Spot either triggers from ranged attacks or triggers from melee attacks. You got to pick what you're doing for your combat action. So most of the time, you're going to be using Black Spot with shooting, which means that you get your D3 +1 shots from your flare, but every time one of those flare shots kills something, you're generating a Hellblaster attack, in addition to the Hellblaster attack generating more attacks itself. So, even assuming you roll the 1, you're firing the Hellblaster
up to 4 times.
4 times, which is pretty crazy for an AoE 5. And
pretty much,
it's also worth noting as well that you don't have to target those Black Spot attacks at the Black Spotted unit. So if you've got 2 units you need to take out, you can fire Hellblaster and Flare shots into that unit and chuck some AoE 5s at a different unit over there. So it's not unreasonable to expect the Kraken to be able to wipe out an entire unit and do significant damage to a second unit.
Or wipe out an entire unit and then just blow up a heavy halfway.
Yeah, or be firing, triggering every one of those black spot attacks into a heavy.
Yep.
So,
but what I wonder is, can you have a double kill shot?
I used to know this, but I'm not sure how much it changed, or if it changed from Mark 2 to Mark 3. Right, so black spot specifies attacks gained from black spot can't generate additional attacks from black spot. So the kill shot can generate a black spot shot, but I'm not sure if it generates a black spot melee attack or a black spot range attack anymore, because it's been a while since I looked at it.
Yeah.
I think it generates another melee attack, because that's how it works with, like, drag and black spot. You drag, you generate a melee attack, but that melee attack triggers a ranged attack because you've chosen ranged attacks. So this works in the opposite direction, whereby your kill shot generates a melee attack because you chose melee attacks initially.
Okay. Fair enough.
As in what? Triggering the black spot off of what? The melee attack that makes the black spot, or so slapping a heavy or something, killing it, shooting the infantry with black spot with the kill shot, and then getting another kill shot, a second shot. I think you would, because kill shot just says you can make one basic ranged attack, and black spot is when you destroy one or more effective models with a basic melee or ranged attack. So could they both a basic ranged attack? You can kill a heavy, kill shot a unit with the big gun, kill one of them, and then fire another big gun at something. So you can quite reasonably go in, black spot a unit, go in with the Kraken, kill a heavy, and then blow up a unit at the same time, which sounds fun.
You can't black spot a heavy is the problem, because it says target warrior model or unit, so you've got to be targeting warriors with the black spot.
Yeah, but you don't really need black spot to kill a heavy in general.
It's more if you want to wade in with your 4-inch reach and functionally berserk through an entire unit.
Yep.
And then get a couple of extra shots out of it.
Yes. Just make sure that with your kill shot, you just kill the last model that's in the unit alongside that just happens to be in the blast or whatever you're shooting with your big gun. Kill it, shoot again. Boom.
Whatever way that sliced, because I know there were years of back and forth threads in Mark 2 about how Black Spot interacted with a Kraken, essentially.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure where it ended was the Black Spot attack generates the same kind of attack that you declared at the start of your combat action. So if you're making ranged attacks, it makes ranged attacks. If you're making melee attacks, it makes melee attacks. I don't think there's been any new ruling on that, and I don't think there's any new language in Mark 3 to make me think that's changed.
Okay. We'll stick with what you say then.
But either way, it's still generating fuckloads of attacks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think that's one of the core things with Scar 2, is that she herself doesn't do much to crack armor, but her plus a Kraken casually murders infantry at an extreme rate. Which means that, kind of similar to like your Kruger 1s, for instance, I think that you have to build a Scar 2 list with the assumption that the list itself has to be cracking armor, because mm-hmm. Black Spot plus a Kraken is going to deal with whatever infantry gets put in front of you.
I wonder, how does Black Spot interact with the Kraken taking souls or spending or corpse tokens?
It now works. It used to not work, but Bone Picker now triggers on destroyed, as does Black Spot.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
In melee, it still triggers Black Spot every time, because you get to choose the order.
Okay, and then you just remove from play, right? Bone Picker removes from play?
Yeah, but it triggers on destroyed, so you don't stop the Black Spot trigger. So the Kraken now synergizes properly with Black Spot, synergizes properly with Berserk, and all that sort of thing.
It's actually remarkable how much casual remove from play we actually have. I mean, and how many leaders out there still have very interesting abilities that would just disappear when you remove them.
It was a kind of recurring problem with a lot of things like Black Spot and Berserk, where there were two in particular for me, for Terminus and Scar 2, where you're like, oh, this is going to be amazing. I can, you know, 4-inch reach Berserk is going to be fantastic. And then realize that Meat Fueled, I think is what it was called in Mark 2, just it didn't work until you were filled up on corpses. But it now works in both those cases because Bone Picker triggers on Destroyed. So you trigger the Black Spot first to make the extra attack happen, then trigger Bone Picker to remove the model from play and take his corpse.
And what I was getting at is that how much just randomly we remove, I mean, Krix as a faction can remove from play.
Which is handy given, you know, as we were discussing earlier, the fact that Krix might need to be... Krix is actually really well equipped to play into the mirror and deal with Ghostly. There are lots of models that do that remove from play casually. Semi-relatedly, well, just to bounce back to our earlier discussion about Ghost Fleet pairs, we probably need that pair to deal with Grimkin, because they casually remove from play just as much as Krix do. Like, half the models in their army just have remove from play on them because they take corpses.
Okay, but I don't think it taking corpses is always, I mean, necessarily removing from play, but it isn't their case.
In their case, yeah, all of their corpse taking removes from play. So they kind of casually deal with Ghost Fleet by their mere existence.
And they take corpses off undead models as well. That's just no fair at all.
They do. They take corpses off undead just as easily as anyone else. So that's something that Krix might have to worry about in the future if Grimkin ever become popular. The question is, of course, people know what happens with small factions now. Like, people are going to understand that if they decide to play Grimkin, they're not likely to get new models for years. Just like Convergence did. So they know they're getting the whole package. And I don't know if that will make them less popular or what will happen.
There's one problem with Grimkin, though. Or one thing that's different, Grimkin and Convergence. That is that Convergence was very much David Carl's pet project. And I think with him maybe losing stature within Privateer Press and also leaving at some point, that really didn't help the case for Convergence. Whereas Grimkin is maybe carried more in a broader sense in a design studio.
I mean, just aesthetically, even like Grimkin seems so very much like a Jason Soul's passion project that maybe there'll be more drive to give them more models.
That could be true. I don't know Jameson Souls. I can't say anything about it.
Nah. Well, it looks like he had some input on their aesthetic, would be my guess. If not, I don't know how much input he had in the rules, but they certainly feel like the kind of thing that he would just aesthetically enjoy. And it always helps to have someone that's there working at the time, pushing the faction forward.
Yes, that's true. And I think that might be one of the problems with Convergence.
Perhaps.
Nobody is really excited about him, so.
Back to Scar 2 then. So we've all got, Klaas, you've got a Ghost Fleet list.
Yes, I do.
And Ryan, you've got a non-theme list.
Yeah, non-theme, no Kraken either.
Cool. And I've got an Infernal Machines list, so we've all got something different.
Cool.
How about that?
Klaas, do you want to tell us about Scar 2, Queen of the Ghost Fleet?
Yes. So the main problem of Scar 2 is cracking armor. I think a Kraken does solve that a little bit because it can get to very high power.
It's really good at cracking armor.
Ooh.
I see what you did there. Yeah.
And also, I mean, it's always interesting for this list to go first because you can run your Kraken into position. You could put up your upkeeps and just get ready to start really doing work next turn, actually put pressure on the table for early on. This is why I think this is one of the major advantages of going Ghost Fleet.
Absolutely. Going first is really, really vital to so many lists. Actually, before you go forward, can one of you two write down the lists that we're talking about now so we can post them? Because people keep asking about
them. Yeah, I know. I posted, so for those, I posted the lists of last episode also on Muse on Minis. So I updated the post on Muse on Minis to include the lists.
Sweet.
I did that just this week or something, so it's not a long time ago, but the lists are there. Okay, so this Scar list has then obviously a Kraken, then one Nidorich, because for some reason that kind of fit.
Well, you need. I think you need the node with Scar too, because you need to put out Black Spot and threaten Backlash to a certain extent.
Threaten back, maybe even a Soul Strike at some point. It's interesting. You could ask yourself the question, why not two nodes? Well, because you just have to learn to play Grixis one hard node, damn it. then three cards, Rengrave and Epistle Wraith, because, well, the Hellslinger Phantom isn't really released yet, but we all know what's going to go there once it is. Then I also have a Machine Wraith to fill up points. Then minimum Ghost Raiders, so minimum Blackbanes, and two min units of Rev Crew with three rifles each. And the remaining 15 points is a Wraith Angel. So I have two very big targets to take up board space. And then, yeah, sprinkling of pirates to just, well, fill up board space as well and make sure that people don't get easily to into my important target.
And it's worth noting as well that the Ghost Fleet list with all those rifles, all of the Revenants having pistols themselves, they get a lot out of Black Spot as well. So if you find yourself needing to find a drop into an infantry spam list, which are becoming, I think they're coming back a little bit.
Yes.
And so if you find yourself having to deal with that, or deal with a Ghost Fleet Mirror, for instance.
Yes, I'm not sure if this list would be any good in a Ghost Fleet Mirror, because it doesn't have remove from play on, it only removes living models from play.
True, but the Kraken, the Kraken's Hellblaster can reach very deep.
Yes.
And get at those safety Revenants back in the back. And there's a whole lot of like guns that benefit from Black Spot that can do the kind of front rank work. You know, pirates can shoot other pirates and get one or two each. And then the Kraken can come up into the space that's been left and get the back pirates.
That could very much be true. And the thing is, if you have big AoEs, you can actually reliably, or you can count on maybe just taking out Rengrave, because all the stuff that is close to each other and that is going to be close to Rengrave is prone to dying from a few well-aimed AoEs. And when you take out Rengrave, the list really starts losing steam.
I mean, it's a lot of work to take out Rengrave, but this list sort of generates extra work by accident. And of course, when the Hellslinger hits in a couple of weeks, you've got a model that can casually kill an entire unit of Revenants by itself, because he can Swift Hunter all the way in to get to the back as well.
And if you would trade a Hellslinger Phantom for a whole unit of Revenants, I mean, that's fine by me.
100% worth it. And every other, like, even regular pistol raids get huge things from Black Spot when you're faced with a lot of infantry.
Yeah, they also get four shots, which is
That's
nice. I mean,
I feel like Ghost Fleet Scar 2 is the Black Spot show.
Yeah, which totally fits the theme. As far as I know English, I thought Black Spot was anyway a piratey title for
it's a pirate thing, yeah, where they, you know, they mark your hand with a black spot and it means that you're going to die. So yeah, it's 100% a pirate thing. So it is also fluffy, because we are fluff bunnies here chasing the Dragonfather.
Totally. We're so fluffy we could die.
Nice. The Ghost Fleet Scar list that I looked at as well is pretty much identical to what you said.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really think of anything that I would do different. I mean, your biggest problem is still going to be cracking armor. But you have a Kraken and a Wraith Engine, which is a pretty decent combo. And you can commit your Wraith Engine to go do some work.
Yeah, because you can protect it with a feat afterwards. And even that worked. You just cycle that to the Wraith Engine. So defense 15, armor 20, Wraith Engine is okay-ish, I guess.
So, Ryan, you've got a non-theme.
Non-theme, no Kraken.
Non-theme, no Kraken. Okay, let's go.
You.
Okay, so, I'll run through the list and then we'll run through the ideas behind it. So, Scar 2, obviously. Battle group is Barathrum, a Death Ripper, two Caesars. Then we've got Ragman, a Warwick Siren, the Texas Gunslingers, Max Mechanothralls, three Brute Thralls, the 6th Raiders UA and a single Necrosurgeon unit. So kind of premise behind the list is you've got a few good options for Death Ward. Realistically, it's probably going on Scar more often than not, because she's kind of the weak link. Barathrum will want admonition for the most part, but Death Ward on the Mechanosaurus to make the Brute Tools Armor 16 make some slightly more reasonable shield guards. So the whole premise of the list is that when I was playing Scar 2 before, I found when you were out threat by your opponent, you have to feat defensively just to get that first alpha strike. And that, for feet as strong as Scar 2s, you don't really want to be doing that. Ideally, you want to be using it the turn you charge. So you get to charge in, maim some infantry, maybe kill a heavy, feat on your important models, their important models, and then almost use her feat as a time warp to get a double alpha. So with that in mind, like the mech thralls are in there with the gunslingers to get the to get that like that cloud ball up for the one turn that you need to deliver your heavies. So you've got the raiders would probably get priority on terrain. The brute thralls mill around with your heavies, and then anything that comes into the cloud wall to shoot you, cast spells, arc nodes, whatever. All three of your heavies have got counter charge, so they come into the cloud pool, like Caesar to face, or if it's something like Barathrum with admonition, he can counter charge, slap whatever came into the cloud ball, and then admonition back behind the cloud ball. So that's a few cute interactions like that. And then the Necrosurgeon is in there just to collect the Texas Raiders and basically make them into more Metrals to give her a little bit of more of a long game.
Staying power.
But it's still the fact you still got raiders and gunslingers, you're still keeping alive the backlash feedback potential. Less relevant without an armor debuff, but if your opponent's got Kador heavies or something, you can shadowbind them with Warwick Siren, get Ragman up there. So then, even though they're in combat, the fact they've been shadowbound, it's the fact of your set and being in melee, so you're getting the armor debuff to get them down to slightly more reasonable number. Yes, you're still fishing for like 9s in the case of Kador heavies, but over 6 shots, you might get a couple. And that equates to 4 points of damage on a caster, which is not to be sniffed at.
Well, yeah, and you got Barathrum and the Satixis Raider. So you have, 15 models with feedback on the table.
What on the table, sorry?
You have 15 models with feedback on the table.
Yes.
So yeah, even if, yeah.
Yeah, Raiders.
Even if you don't break armor with all your attacks, you still have very, very reasonable feedback, backlash, assassination on a table.
Yeah, I mean, you only need 8, 9, or 10 to do it for the vast majority of casters.
Yeah. Like, if Brassman gets in, that's, 2 initials, 2 bolt attacks, if you have to charge to that. 8 damage himself, just the feedback. There are, it's probably more a threat than actual delivering on it, but feedback does get your opponent doing daft things.
I can count on one hand the number of times I've won a game with feedback backlash, but I've won games because the threat existed. Far more games because people don't want to put their jacks in threat of that in case your dice go right and you just win the game casually. And as much as we were saying earlier that, you know, infantry spam is coming back, there's still quite large battle groups in any list. Like, in nearly any list, you're going to be talking about 2 heavies or a heavy and 2 or 3 lights, which is enough to threaten backlash. And taking that 20 to 30 points out of the game, even if it's a pure infantry list at that point, you're still pushing 30% of their army out of the game. Like, part of me wants to, like, we were talking earlier about, you know, absurd skews. I'm suddenly tempted to just take Scar 2, double Stixis Raiders, double Gunslingers and Barathrum, and just say, I'm never going to play this list, but do not drop Warjacks into me. Just don't make me deal with Warjacks, because I will casually backlash you to death.
Yeah, it will very much be a race of can you kill all my backlash models before I destroy you. Maybe that's even a better skill, yeah, than whatever we came up with.
You can backlash away over a couple of turns as well. I mean, if you go in and you backlash someone down to 5 hit points, they can't even, they've got to, that means 3 models with backlash on them, or feedback on them, are enough to threaten to kill you randomly. So they can back off and spend their focus on healing, which still has them in threat, or they can withdraw their warjacks from the fight, which means you're probably in a, which is fine, you can do that all you want, take half your army out of the fight. So, it's certainly a skew that says strong things about what will happen if you drop warjacks into it. You certainly wouldn't want to, you know, drop 12 gun bunnies into it.
No. So sad. In the team tournaments we played, there were a lot of gun bunny lists, and it would have been yes.
Oh, every time. You see those gun bunnies, it's like, yes, let me drop my double sticks as raiders into this. Even with Coven, who aren't like doubling up the damage. With Scar, they've got to be absolutely terrified to death. The only thing that stops it being heart-stoppingly terrifying is the inability to switch upkeep anymore. So you've got to worry about... But you can still... One thing Scar 2 does have, because the same thing that Coven kind of does with the double Stixis Raiders, is that you've got to worry about getting into backlash range, because I'll take 5 or 6 points off you, and then I'm going to come up and Stygian Abyss you to death. Scar 2 has Soul Strike, which she obviously can't do as effectively and efficiently as the Coven can do a Stygian Abyss, but it means that if you can manage a little more damage than 4 or 5, get up to 8 or 10, you can always just throw a Soul Strike at them, or 2 Soul Strikes at them, to finish off that assassination. And once you've got an opponent on the back foot worrying about that sort of thing the whole game, well, then you're doing cricks the way I like to be doing cricks, which is having your opponent worrying about you instead of the other way around.
You put it so eloquently.
If I'm not making them make decisions, it's not the way I like to play War Machine, basically. I suppose it boils down to that's why trolls never clicked, because I always had to react. I never felt like I was forcing my opponent to react to things. And I like to play any game that way. I like to be the aggressor. I want to be the person giving them the question. And backlash feedback as an interaction is a really strong question that is saying, do you want to commit your warjacks to come and do work?
Is there a Hordes matchup that you don't want to play with her?
Well, I mean, she loses that particular lever instantly when she plays into Hordes. And Hordes tends to be more, well, I don't know how true this is in Mark 2 or Mark 3, because we're having plenty of battle group there too. But Hordes in general tends not to be as infantry heavy, so she's not getting as much out of Black Spot either. So I feel like Scar 2 in general doesn't like playing into Hordes.
Yeah, agree.
However, the flip side is that her feed is also really good against low model count armies.
That's true.
But I think you have to question is more,
is there a Hordes matchup that you don't want to play into with Terminus, because your main drop is Terminus, Ghostly?
Can't think of one.
I would say something like Lilith 3, but how about Wyrmwood?
I have no Lilith 3 or Wyrmwood to deal with, to the best of my knowledge, unless some people are showing up to this tournament that are unexpected or switching factions. So I don't have that to worry about. So maybe having that Scar 2 to bully the high armor warjack armies away might be the thing to do.
Yeah, why not? Of course, you're not going to deal with Balder, but you know, if you say that you don't have to deal with Wyrmwood, you probably don't have to deal with Balder either.
No, my biggest Achilles heel in the Mark 3 meta is that I have had almost 0 games against Circle since Mark 3 started. I haven't, and I know a lot of the boogeymen live over in Circle land, and I have basically no idea how those games actually work out.
Yeah, it's still the same, just hit them and they die.
Yeah, my planning for Circle is entirely theoretical, because yeah, I can count on one hand the number of Mark 3 Circle games I've had.
I think in today's meta, and especially when talking about Terminus, I think that what's his face is a problem. Kruger too, he might be a problem, because but I think Wyrmwood, sure. I mean, yes, he might be complicated, but you could actually just sacrifice your Wraith engine hunting for caches. And I mean, you have a 9-inch walking threat with a Wraith engine, and you can go anywhere, just fucking anywhere. And once you hamstring, or once you catch caches, yeah, he's kind of fucked.
Well, he can't do the thing that Ghost Fleet is scared of, which is fire multiple helmets at you. If you can hamstring caches, you're in a good spot there. Not least because you also have a Warcaster in Terminus that if you stand within 11 inches of their caster, they got to get out of there.
Yeah, could he charge Wyrmwood's True Woods? He doesn't. He ignores only intervening models, right?
He can't do it on the feed turn unless the opponent sticks something in a spot that he can also see, which seems unlikely. It's there, and yeah, maybe the backlash skew is something to look at for that tournament as a Terminus partner. I'll do the third list, which is the other theme force. This is Infernal Machines. The most recent version, because it went through about 6 versions on the train, is Scar with a Kraken, an Ehrlich Overseer with a Seether, an Ehrlich Overseer with a Scavenger, a Ward Siren, 3 minimum units of Mechanithralls, and 7 Brutes between those units, and 2 units of Necrosurgeons. Now, I'm strongly questioning the lack of an Arknode there, but I do really like the Ehrlich Overseer with the Scavenger as a way to deliver Dark Shroud without having to commit a heavy.
Yeah, I like that.
And because you've got the Kraken there, you have a good chance of putting damage on your target before the Scavenger goes in, so it's going to get the maximum out of Finisher. And then you've got the Ehrlich Overseer and the Seether as your one of your heavier hitters. The Seether, the Scavenger, the Kraken are all good targets for the feet. And you've got 7 Shield Guards knocking around to help you deliver on the turn before the feet. So basically this list is designed around the idea that the Kraken plus Black Spot is going to deal with all of your infantry problems. And that you need the Overseer and the Seether as a second, like, heavy hitting option, and that you can deliver Dark Shroud anywhere you want via the Scavenger to make Brute Thralls and Mechanithralls something scary to heavies.
Yeah, I mean, if you're hinging your plan with dealing with infantry on the Kraken and Black Spot, you really need an Arknode to get the Black Spot out there.
Yeah, and it's a very difficult thing to wangle. Basically, I'd have to drop the Overseer and the Scavenger and live with just one free card.
Can't you? Oh, yeah, you need all the Mechanitrolls to get the second free card.
Yeah, exactly. So you'd have to kind of warp the list around that idea and suck up the fact you only have one free card, which is acceptable to a certain extent. Like, if I... So I've just deleted the Overseer and the Scavenger. We get a Death Ripper in there, and then so you're deleting a Overseer plus a Scavenger to get yourself basically a Death Ripper.
Yeah, can't you then delete 12 points of Mechanitrolls instead?
You could go that way as well and just delete down to, there goes 10 points.
So you leave the Overseer and the Scavenger
and
there.
Yeah.
No, the Overseer, and you leave both Overseers there, just pay for one. So you delete 12 points of Mechanitrolls to actually gain just 7 points.
Okay, yeah, doing that, what you get is Scar, Kraken, Death Ripper, 1 free Overseer with a Seether, a Warwood Siren, an Overseer that's not free with a Scavenger, 2 Min Mechanithralls with 5 Brutes, and 2 Necrosurgeon units.
See, you could actually, yeah, maybe even go to one Necrosurgeon unit and get a 6th Brute in there, and then for 2 points, I don't know, a Machine Wraith, because Machine Wraiths.
Actually, those two lists look pretty similar in the end. I mean, you're down a unit of Mechanithralls, but you've got your Arknode in there, you've still got your 2 methods of delivering Dark Shroud, you're at exactly 75 points, which, you know, is just calming. Instead of being at 74 or 75, you know, that's just irksome when that happens. I mean, the Warwood Siren could come out for any other 4 points worth of stuff. If you wanted to put in 2 Necrotechs or something to that effect.
Or 1 Necrotech and a Machine Wraith again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
Yeah, I'm. This list is hanging a lot on the ability of the Kraken to do all of the anti-infantry work and still stick around long enough to do some anti-heavy work. But
yeah,
my hope would be that between the Brute Thralls delivering the turn before the feat and the feat turn delivery, that the Kraken gets two turns of work while being protected.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really, like, we touched on it when we talked about Mordor and Ebra as well. It's just getting two full turns of work out of your Kraken is what you need when you're doing a Colossal build. When I say two full turns, I mean, like, turn two, you fire some shots, but it's not a big deal. You want two turns of the Kraken being stuck in and bullying the board. And you want to have the Kraken left at the end of all that. And I think maybe Scar's Feet can leverage that when aided by the Shield Guards on the way in.
Maybe so. And then, of course, you want that. I think you really do want the repair dude to repair the damage that you're going to sustain inevitably.
I mean, the Warwood Siren was just my default four-point option, but a Necrotech and a Machine Wraith is not a bad swap for a Warwood Siren. I mean, the Siren is a nice thing to have when you've got two Jack Marshals in there.
Mm-hmm. Which you do. But
it's not essential.
No.
Or even you drop the Warwood Siren, put in the 6th Brute Thrall and 1 Necrotech. Just to, you know, jam a Kraken's arms back on if someone happens to shoot them off.
Yeah. Also, isn't there like a Black Spot Berserk interaction with the Seether?
No. If you have two effects that generate extra attacks, you have to pick which one triggers.
Okay. So, but you couldn't, for example, if there's an interesting target standing in the middle of a unit, you couldn't, you know, put all your Black Spot triggered attacks into the interesting target.
Oh, and then put your Berserk targets back somewhere else? No, you can't do that.
You know, just going on about the Berserk trick with putting a Mechanitrol next to the target you want to kill, or the horns to upgrade the horn attack, or the tusks, I'm sorry. Would you like try and do something similar? Like you have your first attack.
I see what you mean, but I think that the best you can get out of it is one more claw attack, which is the same even without Black Spot.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, of course, because you have Berserk. Yeah, sure.
But, you know, you can still use the tusks trick to get a little more action out of your Seethers, which is always nice. Or, I mean, you could do this Berserk anyway, but you do a situation where you charge up near a heavy and use your tusk attack and use some of your initials to, you know, smack some infantry that have Black Spot on them and then throw the Black Spot attack into a heavy that's in range. I mean, you can do that with Berserk anyway, but that option is present. I mean, the Kraken utilizes it better.
Yeah, because he doesn't have Berserk.
You know, as we talked about last week, the Seether with Dark Shroud does a lot of work by themselves with the Crush thrown in. So, I don't know, I feel like that list maybe has enough hitting power to overcome Scar 2's big problem, which is lack of hitting power.
Yeah. So if we would just evaluate the three lists next to each other, which one would be the one you want to play? Or which one do you think would be the strongest?
I feel like the Ghost Fleet list is incredible at dealing with infantry.
Mm-hmm.
It does it completely casually. And has, because it's got the Wraith engine in there, does still have the ability to overcome a certain amount of armor cracking. And it's got it's got recursion going on, it's got a bit of a long game present. And unlike most Ghost Fleet lists, it's got an armor 21 Kraken sitting at the heart of it. So that list feels pretty solid.
Yes.
Ryan's list has a multitude of threats and angles to go at, and that has something going for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the list, and the Infernal Machines list, I think, hits harder and overcomes the kind of lists that exist in the meta better. But we are seeing the meta start to... I think we're in a bit of a meta shift now. At the moment, the meta shift is largely towards theme lists. So as more theme lists come out, that meta might get more diverse than it currently is. But, you know, I'm hearing tales of lists that are spamming Iron Fangs at people again and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Ghost Fleet in the meta, and Chain Attack we're talking about, Immortal Spam. And like, I feel like Infantry Spam might be coming back. So I think that is one of the things that would give Scar 2 a place in the meta. If Infantry Spam came back and you needed a way to deal with it without committing your whole list to it. I think that any of these lists could do it in a different way, depending on exactly where the, you know, the sweet spot in the meta is on how much armor cracking versus how much infantry killing you need. Because I think the three lists actually span a sort of like, I think they are on a kind of curve of infantry killing versus heavy killing. Which one of the three lists is the best, I think, will fall on where does that calibration level fall for the meta, and how does your other list deal with it?
Maybe so. My personal opinion is that the Infernal Machines list, and apart from, I think, a few of the SKUs builds that we made last episode, in general, the Infernal Machines builds do feel not as strong as out-of-team builds. And I think in this case, it's the same. I think your SCAR list with Satixes and with anything, stuff that you want, is still stronger than the Infernal Machines the list.
Do you think you need to go with Infernal Machines, do you think you need to lean hard into the SKU and just put dozens of root trolls into people's faces to make that theme list better than non-theme?
Maybe so. I like the Gorshay 2 builds, but that's most because of Gorshay 2 and not necessarily because of Infernal Machines. And maybe same goes for Gorshay 3. I'm not sure there, but it might.
So are you not particularly fond of the Seethers and Iron Lich Overseers kind of Infernal Machines build?
It's a very cool gimmick. It's a very cool package. I'm not sure whether it's really the best.
I did have one game with the Lich 1 list I talked about in the last episode, the Infernal Machines one. And so it was a CID game against the Child. And I think it would have been a pretty even matchup with the Cloud Wall and the heavy trading and all that jazz, except for one critical problem. Jack Marshall Jacks can't shake effects. So Pat did horrible things to me with Force Armor. My poor Seethers just didn't get a look in, because they were just getting Force Hammered and then couldn't stand up. A fairly large issue for the Seether-based builds if you can engineer knockdown of any sort.
There's a lot of knockdown.
Or stationary, or blind, or pick your effect. Which is a shame, because I was very excited about Iron Lich Overseer Marshall Seethers last week, and then I got Force Hammered a lot, and now I'm a little more sad about it. I'm determined to keep trying it, but I'm still a little sad about it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's one of those things that a good player can get over.
Yeah, sure. And anyway, I mean, when it comes to just team lists, we have one outright bonkers team list. That's fine by me. I don't need two. One is fine.
I think we probably have two, but only if you're willing to buy all the Brute Thralls.
Yeah.
I think there are definitely Brute Thrall spam lists out of Infernal Machines that are incredible. Hmm. I think the Lich 1 list is still really good. Like the Lich 1 list with the Seethers, the Cloud Wall, and all that jazz. I think that's a really solid list, but it doesn't feel meta-bending.
Or solving any matchup.
I don't feel like it solves anything in particular. I just feel like it's a really good list. Like, as in, apropos of, like, nothing at all, taking into account nothing about the meta, that list feels like a solid anchor thing.
Mm.
And if your local meta, or the meta you're expecting to play in, doesn't have any boogeymen in particular, I think that's a great list to anchor off. But the boogeyman and but a couple of small flaws. Though when I make it back to Ireland and recover my Seethers, because they've been living in my parents' house since Mark 2, I'm going to give that list a few more goes. I think it's got something. But it certainly doesn't feel as warping as Ghost Fleet. Ghost Fleet feels like a problem that people haven't cottoned onto yet.
Yeah, and the thing is with Ghost Fleet is actually more restrictive than Infernal Machines, and still it feels like a much more flexible list, or a list that gets,
it feels stronger for sure. I don't know about more flexible, but the problem is, or not the problem, because it's our faction, the thing is that Ghost Fleet's inflexibility is completely ameliorated by its longevity in any game. It just doesn't die, and it doesn't matter if you're inflexible if you never die.
Probably so. I mean, in the game that I played, I lost four parrots in every unit. I just casually rolled 3 sixes, and my opponent kind of wanted to quit the game right there.
I feel like I've never actually rolled a 3 on any of my D3s in Ghost Fleet, and that it didn't matter. I just take three. Just call it three and go from there. Yeah.
Just don't roll at all. Just
non-variable. Just do three. So we're at 2 hours of audio. So I think it's a fine time to wrap up. So do you guys have anything you want to add before we finish up?
Nope.
Class.
Yeah, I was tweeting with Rickard, who was starting to play Maelok. So everybody out there, when you play minions, don't play Maelok. He sucks. He's bad. He's an ass. He's boring. Don't play Maelok. Okay, let's agree. Don't ever listen to what Rickard says or does because he's a scrub. And please don't play Maelok. Thank you. That was me for tonight.
And on that note, thank you everybody for listening to episode 5. Yeah, 5. We're definitely on 5. Episode 5 of Chasing the Dragonfather.
Chasing Dragonfather.
Thank you and good night.